Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You know how we do this occasional series called That Was a Hit? We look at songs that have become hits despite not having what we would normally consider to be hit material. Well, today, our chart guru Chris Melanfi is going to tell us why the song Hooked on a Feeling belongs in this roster of weird and inexplicable hit songs. And I have to say, I'm going to take a bit of convincing on this one, because I think that that song, if you know it, it's got hit tune written all over it. But see what you think. Chris will be along presently. We've also got not one, but two live sessions for you today. The Brooklyn-based classical pianist Simona Dinnerstein. She has never followed the usual classical pianist career path, and her new album is full of some often overlooked gems by Bach, and she'll play a few for us. But our first live session is completely different.
You hear the mockingbird singing and feel the wind in your hair. It's just my corazón saying.
It's been a decade since Los Lonely Boys first made a splash on the rock charts with their unique blend of rock, soul, and Latin rhythms. Their 2004 debut attracted wide critical and commercial acclaim for what they call Texican music. It even earned them a Grammy. 10 years on, the band is as vital sounding as ever, and they return to our studio with an unplugged set of songs from their fifth record, Revelation. Here is Los Lonely Boys, live on Soundcheck with So Sensual.
Ooh, she's so sensual. All right, there you go, Johnny.
Now, that's why, you know, it's good to be brothers, where you can just kind of, like, look at each other and go, are we ending? Yeah, we're ending.
Is that it? Yeah, man, it's a good thing, good blessing to be brothers, for sure.
Los Lonely Boys, live on Soundcheck, and a version of So Sensual, which is on their last album called Revelation. For those of you keeping track at home, Henry Garza was on playing guitar in your left channel, and JoJo was playing guitar in your right channel, and Ringo in the middle playing percussion. Guys, first of all...
It's funny you say that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you out, man.
But I was just going to say welcome to Soundcheck, so go ahead.
Thank you so much for having us, man.
Thanks for having me.
But you say Henry's in the left stereo.
Right.
And I'm in the right, but I'm sitting on the left, and Henry's sitting on the right.
You interrupted me, and all you did was confuse people at home. Who are now right. Wait a minute. He said left, but now he says they're on the right. What's going on? So I really like this song. On the record, it has a kind of classic early 70s soul sound. You know, it reminds me of, like, Curtis Mayfield, Al Green, that kind of thing.
Man, John, we're glad you can pick that up, man, because that was the whole, you know, thinking process behind it is, you know, it's keeping... Well, music, you know, didn't break, not fix it kind of theory, you know. It's still just a part of us and our influence of all different kinds of music. And, you know, that's just one side of the record and one part of it,
right,
which is good to put different styles. And that song just kind of, you know, each song speaks for themselves, and and that one spoke that way. So.
Well, you know, and that kind of sound is very often a sound rooted in a certain kind of production. So that track has, you know, it's got that kind of electric sound to it. Here you guys are with a pair of rattles and a pair of acoustic guitars, and it sounds great.
This is just kind of like down home in your face.
It's just like when you're walking down the street and you hear you see some guys there with the guitar case open.
Yeah.
And just if you want to throw a quarter in there, cool. We need to call somebody.
Just like us in the backyard, man.
Right. Well, this sounds like, you know, back porch music.
Yeah, man.
So when you guys coined the term Texican, is that, JoJo, is that what you were talking about? That kind of getting back to that era where on the radio you could hear a Reverend Al Green song followed by a Led Zeppelin song,
right,
followed by a Motown song.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whenever we first came into the music scene, there was a lot of questions asking us, well, what do you guys play? You know, are you guys rock and roll? Are you guys pop? Are you country? Are you Mexican? Are you Christian? Whatever, you know, we're like, we're all those. So, if we got to come up with something, we're Texican rock and roll, because we are from Texas. We are Mexicans. And we don't really want to separate music. Yeah, you know, so.
You know, we don't want to separate people with our music. We want to bring people together.
We didn't want to sound like we were being, it's just music, you know. And they're like, what kind, you know.
So. You knew back in the days, man, when music was so versatile and new, everybody was listening to all kinds of stuff. Now you got to have a certain radio station for this format of music, another radio station for this sound of music. And for us, it's not about a label. It's about what it's called. It's called music, and music lives in different forms of fashions of different styles. So it's impossible for us, for our influences, to put it and call it something that somebody wants to put it in a category.
Right.
That's why we call it Texican rock and roll.
We're speaking with Los Lonely Boys. Their new album is Revelation. And this is the first Los Lonely Boys record, Henry, since your accident that really seriously injured you.
Most definitely, I got injured. I consider myself a walking miracle right now, because the fall and the incident and just
you fell off a stage. It was like severe spinal injuries.
Yeah, it was just pretty bad. You know, I couldn't play guitar, couldn't walk. You know, I had a really loud buzzing in my head. I kept hearing in my ears. It was like for days. It was just going like zzzz. Even today, I'm not. You know, I would say I'm 70%, but 100% happy to be alive, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well said. Now, when you did get back to playing the guitar, was that a kind of a healing process to be able to play music again?
Most definitely, and I got to be honest, man. It was one of the roughest, toughest things I've ever had to go through in my life. Just barely doing notes like C's and then really going, trying to rip it. And all of a sudden my whole spine freaks out and spazzes out. You know, it taught me a lot in a bunch of different ways, you know, and also a challenging experience that I'm still going through.
Sure.
You don't realize how much you put your back into things when you really got to
put
back
into it.
Into
it, you
know? Put some back into that work, yeah. Greg Allman was on the show, obviously post-liver transplant. He was telling us that after he had the liver transplant, how important it was for him to have an album to take out on tour. You know, what that did for him as somebody recovering from major surgery who, you know, had nearly died. And
of course,
what it did. So it sounds, Henry, like you have kind of
it's
a
similar.
It's the
same gratification, man.
Yeah, man, it's like musical therapy, man. It's a healing process that I remember getting out, being able to play the first time with my brothers on that stage, the feeling and the overwhelming feeling of happiness and joy when that first note came out of my guitar, out of my fingers to my guitar through the
we
amp.
We all cried.
It was just no
on
way
stage.
To hold back the tears, man, because it was like I could cry thinking and talking about it now because it's such a touchy-feely place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a gig where we did try to play, where we played a show, but Henry was, it was real bad. He was still in a lot of pain. And
it was a mistake to try to
go and do a gig because when we got done, he was swollen like.
Yeah, he was really, like, really.
So
really,
bad, you know, his neck was all swollen. So we had to stop.
Well, you got to look
We're not going to work it too hard today. Man, just a couple more songs. You want to do one for us now? Give a Little More is the somewhat appropriate title for this one from Los Lonely Boys, live on Soundcheck.
Look at yourself. Don't believe everything you see.
Don't believe everything you see.
Don't worry about what you don't have. It's not the clothes that make the man. It's all about what's inside. You've got the will to survive. Take a little less. Truth's gonna find you if you don't confess. Try a little harder. Dig a little deeper. Did anybody hear what I'm saying? Give a little, gotta give a little more now. Give a little, gotta show me that you know how. Give a little, gotta give a little more now. Brother falls down,
yeah.
You got to lend a helping hand.
Lend a helping hand.
What goes around comes around. Life isn't always what you plan. Some people don't have the strength inside. We all have the right to be alive. Give a little more, take a little less. Truth's gonna find you if you don't confess. Try a little harder, dig a little deeper. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Give a little, gotta give a little more now. Give a little, gotta show me that you know how. What's inside? You got the will to survive. Give a little more, take a little less. The truth's gonna find you if you don't confess.
You got to confess
now. Dig a little deeper. Give a little.
give a little more now. That's what we need to do. I give a little, gotta give a little more now. Give a little, gotta show me that you know how. Give a little, gotta give a little more now. That's what we need to do.
Los Lonely Boys, live on Soundcheck, and a song called Give a Little More, the unplugged version, the full-on band versions on the new album called Revelation, the latest from Los Lonely Boys. The three Garza brothers, Henry, JoJo, and Ringo, Henry playing guitar, JoJo on guitar, Ringo on percussion, here in the Soundcheck studio. Why don't we hear another song? You want to do Don't Walk Away next?
We can give it a shot.
Yeah, all right.
Let's
once
give
again.
Let's give it another go, see if it works here.
Los Lonely Boys.
Pull them apart, ready to rock.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
One, two, three.
I'm so suspicious lately. Baby, what did I do? What'd I do to you? I see you going through my pockets and you say you smell perfume. Baby, that ain't cool. I love you in every way. I show you every day. Baby, where's this coming from? Telling you I'm not that guy.
Baby, I ain't lying.
I love you in every way. Try to show you every day.
Los Lonely Boys, live on Soundcheck with a version of their song, Don't Walk Away. That has a very Texican sound to it.
Yeah. You can hear the rawness in that version, too.
Well,
man.
Even though we used the term, we coined the term Texican rock and roll to describe how we make our music by different styles, there actually is a Texican sound. And
was that it?
Yeah. Well, you feel it there. It's really funny you said that, because when we showed it to Los Lobos.
Yes, Steve Berlin.
Yeah, he goes, "That if anybody plays that kind of song
that
like
groove.
that is Los Lonely Boys' Texican feel." And we were like, "What?" And he was like, "That's what you guys are known for right there."
We didn't really think of it as being something special till we gave the guitar, told our friends to give it a go, and they were like,
"We can't.
We don't know how to do that." We're like, "For real?"
We're like, liars.
But you know what? Whenever we do sing, like JoJo will come up with something new, or Henry come up, we come up with something new, we just start singing harmony, you know?
Yeah, that's what I meant earlier.
Yeah.
It does come out of us, you know, because we've been doing it for so long. It's kind of like, I know where my brothers
are going. It already
exists, you know?
Man. It already exists. Whenever either one of us takes a lead vocal, the harmony exists. And yes, we've been able over time to be able to find that with anybody singing. It sounds great as brothers, but man, we listen to Ronnie or Stevie Wonder on the CDs. We harmonize them.
We harmonize them, and it's like, man, why don't they put harmony
on
that?
Yeah, why don't these songs have harmony on them? We love doing that growing up.
But what JoJo just said about, you know, that harmony is out there when the song is written.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the truth.
We've heard, you know, you ask somebody, well, how did you compose this piece? How did you write this song? And they're like, I don't know. I just found it.
It's that just like, way with everything. Yeah. And the title Revelation means a lot in that respect. Because basically we're those kind of musicians and artists that have realized that this comes from somewhere else, man.
To watch the three of you, you know, watch that long fraternal kind of telepathy in action where the one just seems to know what the other's going to do before he does it. It's a lot of fun having you guys back here in the studio today. So,
thanks,
guys, thank you so much.
We had a great time. Appreciate your time, man.
The guy say it's a crime that he sold that 69. 'Cause he changed his whole world for someone's daddy's little girl. He blamed it on love, blamed it on love. Her girlfriend say sometimes that she lost her mind. She gave up her dreams, all for the diamond ring. She blamed it on love. She blamed it on love.
Coming up on Friday, our occasional series, Vanished Venues, looks at the Roseland Ballroom, which is set to vanish on April 7th. We want to hear your stories from the nightclub. Tell us about a great show you saw or a memorable run-in that you had at the Roseland Ballroom here in New York. Post a comment at soundcheck.org or tweet us at soundcheck, or leave your story in a voicemail at 866-939-1612. That's 866-939-1612. Coming up, the song that made everyone go ooga chaka. We'll hear the story of Hooked on a Feeling in our series, That Was a Hit. And later, New York-based classical pianist Simona Dinnerstein goes back to Bach live in our studio. This is Soundcheck.
And now, Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks,
That was a hit?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
Time now for another installment of That Was a Hit, our series about baffling chart success, and we're joined, as we often are for this series, by pop chart analyst Chris Malanfi. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks, John. You ready for a little Ooga Chaka?
A little Ooga Chaka, the song Hooked on a Feeling from 1974. Now, Chris, we have talked on this series with you and other guests about songs that you listen to them and you think, how did that become a hit? I listen to this song and say, of course it was a hit. It's a great song. So why are we talking about it as unexpected or baffling?
We're talking about it because the version that became the biggest hit, the number one hit in America in 1974, is so improbable. It morphed from one kind of hit in 1969 to a very different kind of hit by 1974. And that's what's fascinating about it is how did this Swedish group, Blue Swede or Suede, depending on your persuasion, how did they score this bizarre version of Hooked on a Feeling in 1974? So that's why we're talking about it.
Okay. And I'm glad you made the distinction Blue Suede, Blue Swede, because until today, I always thought the band was called Blue Suede.
I did too. And it is definitely clearly spelled Swede, S-W-E-D-E.
And they are from Sweden.
And they are from Sweden. And it was intended as a pun.
Okay. So just to put it out there, Soundcheck listeners, expect to hear me at some point slip and say Blue Suede, because that's how I've always said it. But before we get to their version, let's hear the first version by B.J. Thomas, who would later go on to have a huge hit with Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
Yep.
So this first version did okay?
It made the top five. It was a hit in early 1969.
A hit for singer B.J. Thomas, the original version of the song Hooked on a Feelin' with the kind of electric sitar thing at the beginning.
Can you smell the patchouli?
Man, I can see the lava lamps.
Can't you?
So the story could have ended there.
Yep.
Minor hit, hits the top five, disappears. You know, it wasn't like one of the top five or ten of the year, because that was the first year I remember like following the charts as a kid. And so it could have ended there, but it didn't.
No.
What happens next?
So this song, which by the way was written by Mark James, who is a well-known songwriter. He wrote Suspicious Minds for Elvis. He wrote Always on My Mind, made famous by many people, including Willie Nelson and the Pet Shop Boys. Anyway, Jonathan King writes this song. B.J. Thomas has the first hit with it. In 1971, a gentleman named Jonathan King, a Brit, he's hard to describe. He's a multi-hyphenate. He's a producer. He's an entrepreneur. And he's also a novelty recording artist. He liked to take songs and do covers of them, sometimes under a goofy name or a pseudonym. He didn't do this one under a pseudonym, but he did release an incredibly bizarre version in 71 that completely rearranges it. And if you've still got the B.J. Thomas version in your head, there are lots of little differences. Think about like the way he hits I'm Hooked on a Feeling and the way he hits the notes. Think about that very sweet, dewy sitar intro. The Jonathan King version turns the whole thing on its head. Ooga chaka ooga 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 chaka ooga 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 chaka ooga 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 chaka ooga ooga. I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
Oh, that is great. I've never heard that before.
I had never heard it before until I started researching where the heck this version came from.
Jonathan King from England and his version of Hooked on a Feeling, that is very, very close to the exact arrangement that would then become the smash hit for Blue Suede.
He deserves mad genius points for even imagining that this was possible. I mean, nobody even knows where the Ooga Chaka came from.
And the poor guys in the background going, Ooga Chaka, they sound like they're gasping for breath after a few seconds.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. So that version went to number 23. It wasn't a huge hit at all, but it went to number 23 in England, not America, right? So it's a minor hit in England. And a producer in Sweden, named Bengt Palmers. That's a great Swedish name. He's the head of A&R for EMI Sweden, the Swedish EMI label. And he's producing a band back then, or you know, doing A&R for a band back then called Blåblus, which is a Swedish band. Blåblus translates either to blue blouse or idiomatically to blue denim. It's basically meant to be a pun on the blues. They were a group founded by lead singer Bjorn Skifs in the early 70s, 1972. So he's producing them, and he presents the Jonathan King version of Hooked on a Feeling to them. He suggested that they incorporate the song into their stage act, just their stage act. So the group performed it for a few months, and then it was going so well as a stage number, kind of a novelty on stage, that they finally decided to record it. The song was released just for the Scandinavian market, and it became a huge hit there. I'm reminded, if we think about songs we've talked about recently, it's like The Fox by Ylvis, that novelty record from just last year. Never intended for anything but the Scandinavian market. It was a Norwegian song only intended for Norway. Same deal here. The cover of Hooked on a Feeling was only intended for the Swedish market, and it exploded there. And that's where the story, you know, takes a turn.
And so the band Blåblus becomes Blue Suede or Swede.
That's right.
Here in the States.
An English name was needed for the group, and basically Palmer suggested altering blue denim to blue suede, and hence we get the pun blue suede / Swede, spelled S-W-E-D-E.
And their famous version of Hooked on a Feeling.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
All right, Chris Melanfi, you've convinced me. It is a great song, but yes, it is a highly improbable journey to getting the,
right?
To getting Blue Suede to the top of the American charts in 1974 with that song called Hooked on a Feeling. So it sounds then like this song has a kind of bigger legacy to impart as the first Swedish pop hit.
That's correct. It went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1974, and the important historical detail is that makes Blue Suede, or Swede, the first Swedish act to top the American charts. I know what band you're all thinking right now, and that band is ABBA. They beat ABBA by 3 years. Very coincidentally, the very month that this song topped the Hot 100, in Europe, the band ABBA was winning the Eurovision Song Contest with the song Waterloo. And that, of course, is well-known in lore, exploded their career.
Right.
They became, you know, one of the best-selling global acts of the 1970s. And they finally topped the American charts 3 years later, almost to the month, with Dancing Queen. But Blue Suede, or Swede, were there first.
So the first wave of the Swedish invasion.
That's right.
And in pop culture, the song has a life of its own as well.
It just keeps coming up. I have to confess that I don't think I was truly familiar with the Blue Suede version. My mom used to play the B.J. Thomas version when I was a kid, until the early 90s when I heard it in the soundtrack to the movie Reservoir Dogs, the first Quentin Tarantino movie. It's got a very prominent place in that. It's on the soundtrack. Stephen Wright introduces it.
You've heard Turn the Beat Around by Vicky Sue Robinson, Heaven on the Seventh Floor, La Freak by Chic, Fly Robin Fly by The Silver Connection, and now number 5. Ooga, chaka, ooga,
ooga. So it's in Reservoir Dogs in 1992. It recurs in the late 90s again on the TV show Ally McBeal as kind of a meme, this dancing baby meme that keeps appearing on the show. Every time she's thinking about her biological clock, this dancing, this electronic dancing baby pops up, and they play the ooga chaka of the Blue Suede version of Hooked on a Feeling. So yeah, this song just keeps popping up.
So was Blue Suede a one-hit wonder?
They were not quite a one-hit wonder, actually. You know, I often say that when an act has that big a hit, you can usually be relied on to get one more hit out of them. They had one more top 10 hit, another cover of the Association's Never My Love. And that really? Actually made the top 10, believe it or not. Hmm. It made number 7 in September of 1974. So they escaped the ignominy of being a one-hit wonder in America.
All right, but they did not escape the ignominy of being relegated to our That Was a Hit series.
Absolutely
here
not.
On Soundcheck. Chris Malanfi, pop chart analyst, contributor to NPR Music, Slate, and a frequent guest of ours on Soundcheck. Chris, good to see you.
Good to see you, John.
All the good love, when we're all alone, keep it up, girl, yeah, you turn me on.
Join Soundcheck for our spring mini-festival, The Gig Stock. It's two nights of music and conversation in the green space, inspired by the daily gig alerts that you hear on WNYC each morning. We'll kick off Gig Stock next Wednesday, April 9th, with live performances by two great New York bands, The Pains of Being Pure at Heart, and this group, the indie punk band Parquet Courts.
Well, I was walking through Ridgewood, Queens. I was flipping through magazines. I was so
starving.
I was debating Swedish fish, roasted peanuts, or licorice. I was so starving. I was holding some wadded pills. I was reading that Smoking Kills. I was so
Gig Stock, day one with Parquet Courts and The Pains of Being Pure at Heart. That's Wednesday, April 9th at 8 p.m. For tickets, go to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. Up next, an in-studio performance from classical pianist Simona Dinnerstein. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You don't have to be a classical music fan to know something about Simona Dinnerstein's story. Soundcheck listeners first met her in 2007 when her self-produced album of the Goldberg Variations by Bach became a surprise bestseller. Since then, she's recorded and toured with singer-songwriter Tift Merritt, signed to a major record label, hit the Billboard pop music chart with a later album of Bach, and created a series of concerts for and in New York City public schools. Her latest album features Bach again, but this time a somewhat overlooked part of Bach's music. Here is Simona Dinnerstein at our piano to play Bach's Invention in E Major live on Soundcheck. music by Bach, live at our piano. That's Simona Dinnerstein at our piano in the Soundcheck studio with the Bach Invention No. 6 in E major from Simona's most recent recording of Bach Inventions and Sinfonias. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
So you've now done 5 solo CDs, and Bach appears on all of them. Apart from the whole towering genius of Western civilization thing, why do you keep coming back to Bach?
Bach is my favorite composer, so that's the first thing. I mean, I think you should play the music that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Bach is on all of them, there are other composers too, so it's not like I'm ignoring.
Right.
But I think
including
that
some contemporary composers.
Yes, yeah. And I guess I feel that there's just so much to learn from his music. It's never ending, you know.
Well, interesting you should use the word learn, because the inventions, the piece mm-hmm. you just played among them, these are often consigned to schoolwork. They're like training exercises, or at least that's how people think of them.
Yeah, well, Bach wrote them to teach his students, some of his children and his students, how to play using 2 voices in the case of the inventions and 3 voices in the case of the sinfonias. And this is something that's quite interesting, that he wrote this set as almost a musical essay. Hmm. You know, it's like almost like a treatise on how to play. But instead of writing it with words, he writes it with music.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was such an incredible genius of a composer, these are exquisite pieces of music.
So when you say they're in 2 voices, the right hand and the left hand are independent parts?
Exactly. And I use the word voice. Sometimes people use the word line. But voice, I think, is a nice way to think about it because they are so vocal. And in fact, one of the things that he wrote in the preface to the Inventions and Sinfonias was that that he wanted people to learn how to play in a cantabile style, which means
singing.
In a singing style,
yeah.
Which is particularly interesting if you think about the fact that they would have been playing these on a harpsichord. So how do you play in a singing style on a harpsichord? It's quite different than a piano, which
yeah.
I think is more naturally singing.
Yeah. So this would have been, as you say, written for his kids, his students. So how do kids react? Do you bring these pieces into the schools when you do your Bach packing to school program?
Yes, I've been mainly concentrating on this when I've gone to schools. And I think kids find it really interesting because at first I play one of the really fast ones for them, which kind of grabs them.
Right.
But I think that what's happening is that they're at first hearing just music. And then I try to take it apart for them because I don't even think that they're hearing that there are 2 voices. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a glob of music, you know. And actually, I think it's hard for many people to hear the 2 voices. And that's one of the challenges also as the pianist is to hear them and for each one to have a different character.
And for each one to be singing
right.
at the same time.
Yeah.
It would have been difficult on a harpsichord. It's still a challenge on a piano. But when you're in the schools, how do you do that? You can't bring your instrument with you. Are you bringing a keyboard?
I am bringing a keyboard. I've actually been very lucky that Yamaha has been helping me out with this. So they delivered keyboards all over New York and also Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
And I'm trying to do this wherever I go. So I'm also – some schools have uprights.
Right.
I'm happy to do that. I just played at a school in Boulder when I was out there on their kind of sort of beaten up upright. The idea that I had for Bach packing was, you know, to go into a classroom as opposed to playing in a huge auditorium. I think it's much more powerful for mm-hmm. children to be up close and – then I can engage with them more.
Yeah. The idea of playing this old music to young kids reminds me actually of something. As you know, I reviewed this album for E! Music, and I sort of went out on a limb and suggested that maybe your work with contemporary composers had colored the way you play Bach. This is your chance to tell me I'm full of it. Or, I mean, but you have played a lot of contemporary music. Nico Muhly, Philip Lasser, Danny Felsenfeld.
Yes.
Has that colored the way you approach older music?
Absolutely, yeah. I think yes.
How so?
I mean, we've kind of put Bach's music into a glass case. And it was living, breathing stuff, you know. He probably changed things as he went, you know, each time he did it. And now we're kind of fundamentalists when it comes to this music. And it's really, it's much more malleable than I think we give it credit for.
Right. So still a living, breathing thing all these years, centuries later. We're speaking with Simona Dinnerstein. Her latest album is Bach Inventions and Sinfonias. Now, these inventions tend to be quite short. You want to put together a little set of them for us?
Yes. I'm going to start with the G major one.
Okay. The Invention in G Major by Bach from his set of two-part inventions. And again, that means both the left hand and the right hand are sort of independent parts. And once you know that and can listen for it, it sort of changes your approach to these pieces. Here are three of Bach's inventions, played live at Our Piano by Simona Dinnerstein on Soundcheck. Thank you. Once again, Simona Dinnerstein, live on Soundcheck, playing our piano and playing the music of Bach. We heard three of the inventions. That last one's the B-flat major, right?
A minor in the middle.
And the A minor in the middle, and the G major up top. So three more inventions, all of which are on Simona's latest album, The Bach Inventions and Sinfonias, for two and three parts, respectively. While you were playing, Christian McBride tweeted us, the jazz bassist.
Okay.
Say hello to my former next-door dorm neighbor, Simona Dinnerstein. So you guys were in dorm rooms, adjacent dorm rooms
or something? The West Side YMCA, back when we were first, our first year at Juilliard together. That's so nice that he remembers. I heard a lot of James Brown coming to the wall from him.
Your dad and your uncle are both noted American painters. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, whether that has given you a kind of different visual approach to concertizing and stuff, because you've done a couple of unusual things, like here in New York at LPR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think my dad has been a huge influence on me as an artist. I mean, the way that he is an artist is he's extremely single-minded. Mm-hmm. And
this is Simon Dinnerstein
that we're
talking about.
My father, Simon. But also we've had many conversations over the years about line, especially composition. He thinks a lot about that, and when he looks at art, he talks a lot about the line in it.
Yeah.
And I think that line in music is something that I think about a lot, and when I've reflected on it, I've thought, actually, maybe I think about it that much because of looking at art with my dad.
Well, the album of Inventions and Sinfonias is the latest album of the music of Bach by my guest, Simona Dinnerstein. Simona, it is always great to have you with us here on Soundcheck. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, The Hold Steady just released its first album in 4 years called Teeth Dreams, and it finds the band serving up more slice-of-life storytelling. Led by singer Craig Finn, The Hold Steady joins us to play live. Plus, David Yao, the indestructible frontman of the Jesus Lizard, one of the most influential alternative rock bands of the 90s. He'll join us to talk about the improbable, totally NSFW coffee table book that tells the story of his band. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff, with Amy Pearl and our intern, Ryan Kyloff. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.